Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 93.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Carter. Members and visitors in the gallery will please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Carter.
I do apologize for my tardiness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Fathers, we do come before your throne this morning. As always, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you allowed us to get up, live another day. But I ask this morning that you just help us as only you can. Each and every day, give us the wisdom to know what is the right thing to do. Not only here, but when traveling home, when we're with our family, that, Lord, we'll always just do right. This morning, dear Lord, help us as decisions we make, as we know we'll stand before you with. We just ask that only you and you only would lead, guide, and direct us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 10th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for July 10th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, our nurse of the day is Lynn Vinson from Garner. Ms. Vinson, thank you for being with us today. Please join me in welcoming our nurse with us. Is there objection under Rule 5 for the chair to call bills as the chair deems appropriate? Hearing none, so ordered. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The ruling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 29, an act to increase the penalties for violation of the move over law and to limit the use of flashing amber lights. Senate Bill 462, an act to replace North Carolina education requirements and become a licensed certified appraiser with the requirements of the Appraiser Foundation Appraiser Qualifications Board to allow North Carolina Appraisers Board to select new fees and to make other modifications that would allow the North Carolina Appraisal Management Companies to be placed in the Appraisal Management Company National Registry and to modify certain JMAC awards. Senate Bill 508, an act to amend Rule 30 of the North Carolina Rules of Civil Procedure related to taking of depositions. Senate Bill 606, an act to prioritize the use of native North Carolina trees, shrubs, vines, grasses, and lagoons in the highway right-of-way. House Bill 107, an act to make changes to the Educate Preparation Program Performance Standards and Data Reporting System. House Bill 198, an act to implement recommendations made by the North Carolina Human Trafficking Commission. House Bill 243, an act amending the State Human Resource Act related to the conservative and technical assistance provided to the State Workplace Safety Program by the Office of State Human Resources, amending the definition of eligible officers and amending the definition of eligible officers to employers of flexibility compensation plan to include members of the Consolidated Judicial Retirement System and Legislative Retirement System. House Bill 268, an act to disapprove certain wastewater treatment and dispersal rules adopted by the North Carolina Commission for Public Health and to create a task force to recommend wastewater treatment and dispersal rules to create standards for an on-site wastewater evaluator and to make technical corrections. House Bill 323, an act to excess part of the cost of court convicted offenders, the cost of local law enforcement crime lab analysis during investigation. House Bill 325, an act removing the requirement that buprenorphine prescribers register, that the state in addition to registering with the federal government, decriminalizing and use of drug testing equipment to direct contaminants, broadening the objective syringe changing program to encompass reduced number of drug overdose in the state and to remove the ban of the use of state funds to purchase certain supplies. House Bill 337, an act to amend laws governing the transfer transfer of salvaged vehicles by removing notary requirements, permitting electronic signatures, and allowing access to Division of Motor Vehicle Systems for salvaged vehicle title process. House Bill 362, an act to adopt a 15-point scale determining the school performance grades to require the State Board of Education to adopt emergency rules in preparation for permanent rules making and to make direct State Board of Education to study reporting methods for use for school accountability purchases in North Carolina annual school report cards. House Bill 546, an act to prohibit the import of manufacture, sale, offer, sale, installation, or reinstallation of counterfeit and non-functional airbags. House Bill 620, an act to require Department of Transportation to compile public street information database to update subdivision road manual registry and to accept the certain proprietary design work for work products submitted by the Department of Transportation from the public records temporarily. And the following bills duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Bill 239, an act to relate the release of animal services report to Pitt and Burke counties. House Bill 324, an act to make various changes to the local hunting acts of Caldwell, Cleveland, Cumberland, and Yancey counties. House Bill 429, an act authorizing the town of Manteo to regulate navigable waters within the corporate limits and adding certain described navigable waters to the corporate limits of the town of Manteo for that purpose and authorizing the county of Hyatt to regulate certain navigable waters within that county.
Chat bills be noted. Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White are recognized. Sent forth the committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representative Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, Health Committee report. Senate Bill 9, female genital mutilations, clarify prohibition, favor, and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills refer to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Members, Chair has been informed that there is a bill, Senate Bill 212. Short title is NC FAST Early Child Transformation ACH Assessment. This bill is presently in the 36B holding. Chair has been informed that there's no objection to this bill being added to today's calendar. Is there objection to this bill being added to today's calendar? Again, that's Senate Bill 212, NC FAST Early Child Transformation ACH Assessment. Hearing none, the chair will add that to today's calendar. Couple recognitions before we get into the calendar. Have an honorary page with us today, Ryan White from Guilford County, who's sponsored by Representative Clemens. Mr. White, where are you, sir? Where's Ryan? Oh, up here. Ryan, thanks for being with us today. Ryan, I know you don't have a coat or tie on, but I'm going to bend the rules for you. If you want to come down here on the floor, you're welcome to do so. Also, I believe we have some young men and women from our Tar Heel Challenge Academy with us in the gallery today here on the left. If y'all would please stand, we want to welcome you all and thank you for being with us today. House Bill 108, Corporal Reed.
Representatives Horn and Lucas, House Bill 108, a bill to maintain an act to improve the data collection of cost recovery practices of health care services for safekeepers and to recommend for the Joint Legislative Program Evaluation Committee, General Assembly, North Carolina, and Act.
Clerk will read the amendment as well.
Senator McKissick moves to amend the bill on page 4, line 20, by rewriting the line to read.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House do concur with Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 108.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Amendment 1 to House Bill, to the committee substitute for House Bill 108. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion. In just a moment, the House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 108 passed out of this House unanimously, was amended in the Senate only with technical clarification. So I ask your support, and it has, by the way, the support of the Sheriff's Association, and I know of no objection. I ask your support for the concurrence vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur with Senate Amendment 1, the House Committee substitute to House Bill 108. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Dobson, aye, please, Mr. Clerk. Lewis, aye. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House does concur with Senate Amendment 1 to House Bill 108. The bill is ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor. Mr. Clerk, Chair appoints the following conferees to Senate Bill 553. Chair, Representative Riddell. Members, Representative Brody, Yarbrough, Bell, Arp, and McGrady. Senate will be so notified. House Bill 469, the clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 469, a bill to maintain an act to revise the laws pertaining to equitable distribution, amend the laws pertaining to parent coordinators, and to make various changes under the laws pertaining to adoptions. General Assembly, North Carolina, and acts.
The lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we do concur.
Ladies move that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 469. The lady has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this was went over as a nice, clean bill, and it actually came back fairly clean. They just combined a couple of other bills with it. We passed House Bill 469 originally, which dealt with equitable distribution and pensions. As you recall, I talked about the pension plan and how you do these percentages. The state treasurer asked for a tweak to that bill. The second part of it is parenting coordinators, which was House Bill 470. We passed that. The third part was a Senate bill dealing with adoptions and basically bringing North Carolina in line with the interstate compact. So that when we do an adoption here and somebody's child moves elsewhere, we've got the same set of rules running. And it was Senate Bill 492. Ask for your support on all of them.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 469. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 469. The bill is ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor. House Bill 628, the clerk will read.
Representatives Grange, Hardister, Conrad, and Hunter, House Bill 628. A bill to be entitled 2019 Banking and Mortgage Corrections and Changes, General Assembly of North Carolina, enacts.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 628.
Gentleman has moved that the House do concur. The gentleman has the floor. Debate the motion.
Members, this is virtually the same bill that passed the House 108-0 a few weeks back, and it just passed the Senate unanimous yesterday. Section 1 and 2 makes adjustments to banking law, and Section 3 would add a non-depository seat to the Banking Commission, but the Senate did make some changes that I view as primarily technical to Section 3. Not aware of any opposition. Appreciate your vote on the motion to concur. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you. To ask the bill sponsor a question?
Gentleman from Guilford yields.
Certainly.
Yields.
Thank you for your explanation. On part two, is this new language that would allow any commercial bank savings and loan to start offering raffles? And if so, the minimum requirements, I mean, it looks like it's not called gambling, but it's certainly encouraging people to enter raffles by putting deposits in banks.
Yes, Representative. In fact, what this would do is it would align North Carolina laws with the laws in many other states as it relates to the raffles. My understanding is that this is currently allowed for credit unions, but not for banks, and this would create parity between the two.
Thank you. Speak on the bill.
Ladies recognized.
Members, I just think this is a bad way to go for our financial institutions to try to entice people to put minimum deposits in their banks. There could be withdrawal fees associated with it. People would be lured to doing this in hopes to winning up to $150,000 raffle. And I think it's just encouraging people to misuse their money by the solicitation by financial institutions. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur of the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 628. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 89 having voted in the affirmative and 25 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 628. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 675. The clerk will read.
Representatives Brody, Rydell, Hollister, and Richardson. House Bill 675, a bill to be entitled act to make various changes to clarifications to statutes governing the creation and enforcement of building codes. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I make a motion to concur with the Senate changes.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, the Senate changed two provisions in it. The original Section 8 dealt with backflow devices on irrigation systems. That was removed from the bill, and it was replaced with a new section allowing the State Board of Examiners of Plumbing, Heating, and Fire Sprinklers to create a residential sprinkler, fire sprinkler design license. That was it. I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 675. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Lambeth aye. Representative White, Representative Shepherd, the members wish to vote. Clerk will like machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 675. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. For what purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
For a motion.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we remove Senate Bill 315, the 2019 Farm Act, from the Committee on Finance, re-referred to the House Committee on Agriculture.
Without objection? So ordered. The chair will recognize the finance chair's objection. It was a little late, but the lady did object, so the chair will recognize. The lady has objected, so the motion is before the body, and it is debatable. So the chair will first recognize the gentleman from Duplin to debate the motion, and then we'll recognize the lady from Davie to debate the motion. Representative Dixon is recognized to debate the motion to re-refer.
In the Committee on Finance this morning, we had some vigorous debate. It became clear to me that now that we have the proper level of attention, I talked to all the parties involved in the room before I left, and I believe that we can resolve some of the problems in a proper way that'll be more productive if we do that under the auspices of the House Agriculture Committee, and I would encourage you to vote green on my motion.
Lady from Davie, Representative Howard, is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did have quite a debate in the committee for the members of the Finance Committee who were all present and attentive. We simply ran out of time in the committee to get a vote and to allow the people to speak that had already signed up. So with all due respect, if we want to follow the proper procedure, the bill should be completed coming through finance, and then if they so choose to send it back to agriculture before it goes to rules, that would be appropriate. But the Finance Committee has not completed their work, and I would ask that we do not support that motion.
Upon further review, it appears that this is a decision that is solely within the discretion of the Speaker. I frankly wish it wasn't.
Mr. Speaker, may I make
therefore, the motion can simply be withdrawn at this time, and the Speaker is not going to rule at this time.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon Rice?
Chief Representative Howard, yield for a question.
The lady from Davie, yield.
Absolutely.
She is.
Thank you, Representative Howard. What or when do you think that we would reconvene the Committee on Finance?
As soon as we can.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my motion.
Again, as I said, this is unfortunately is something that only I get to decide upon, so I'll get around to it at some point. House Bill 922, the clerk will read.
Representatives Destin Hall, Lewis, and Arp. House Bill 922, a bill to entitle an act to reduce the impact of taxpayers' natural disaster and other insurable risks and enhancing the state insurance coverage of public school buildings and community colleges. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized to debate the bill. And would Representative Howard and Representative Dixon please approach the dais?
Mr. Speaker, for a motion to concur. Mr. Speaker, a motion to concur.
Recognize.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. What this bill does is we all unfortunately understand the recent hurricanes and other disasters and has highlighted the need for us to look at our insurance provisions in light of the public schools and making sure our public schools are insured properly and our other state assets. And that's what this legislation does. It simply asks LEAs to properly insure their property, to purchase flood insurance if in a flood zone, and to transfer that program to DPI. This passed in the Senate 49-0. I know of no opposition. This was all the treasurer, the North Carolina School Boards Association, and Department of Public Instruction all want to do this, and I ask for your vote.
For what purpose, gentlemen? From my side, Representative Cleveland Rice.
To ask the sponsor a question.
Gentleman from Union, yield to the gentleman from Onslow?
Yes.
Yields?
Yeah, could you explain to me why we're only requiring an 80% valuation to be insured?
What this is the way this works is that this is a trust fund that the schools can voluntarily participate in, or they can go out and purchase insurance on the market. This trust fund covers part of it, and then by putting them in underneath the state's insurance program, we can have reinsurance on top of that, and so it trying to make it more affordable.
Follow up.
Gentlemen, you?
Yes.
Maybe just what you're telling me is that the trust fund will support 80% of the value of the property, and then the state insurance will have the other 20%?
Not necessarily, no. That's not how it works.
May I follow up?
Gentlemen, yield to a follow additional question?
Yes.
He yields?
Would you explain to me how it works?
In just a moment, gentlemen. Members of the House will come to order. And Representative Arp now has the floor to respond to the question from Representative Cleveland.
Let me put it in light of a homeowner's. Let's say if you insure the value of your property, you can have what's called replacement costs, and it's insured at a higher level or at the value of your original purchase. That's a choice that you have to make, and it costs more to evaluate. What we're trying to do is provide some uniformity across. Right now, it's very loose, and so what we do is we ask them to provide a minimum level of insurance, flood insurance, and that's what this program's about.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Isler, rise?
A question to the bill sponsor.
Gentleman from Union, yield to the gentleman from Brunswick.
Yes.
He yields.
Representative Arp, very curious, is this going to be a requirement or a mandate, and is the expense going to be borne by the community colleges and LEAs, or is this part of a trust fund I've heard mentioned?
This is part of the trust fund. There's a couple of things. What happened is that this is moved from DPI to the Department of Insurance so that it can be managed with the state's program there, and there's no a problem with that. This is still a voluntary program that you can participate in. Some LEAs have pulled out, like Wake, and they purchased their own insurance because of that. And so this is still voluntary. The school systems can still choose to participate in the trust fund or go out on their own and purchase on the market.
Follow up.
Gentlemen, yield to a follow up?
Yes.
That would apply also to community colleges?
Yes.
Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgardner, rise?
To see if Representative Arp would yield for a question.
Gentleman, yield?
Absolutely.
He yields.
What committees were hurt this bill, and what was the debate like? We didn't have this kind of insurance, I see, looking at the history where it's been. So explain that, please.
Yeah, this is a Senate committee substitute for the bill. It was vetted in there, as you understand, their Senate committee on insurance, and it comes over here for concurrence. But again, I know of no opposition. Everybody, the School Boards Association, the Department of Insurance, and the Treasurer all have been working on this to ensure that we have the proper level of insurance for our schools, and this is the fix that they've been working on. So I ask for your vote.
Further discussion, Further debate? For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask Representative Arper a question.
Gentleman from Union, yield?
Certainly.
Yields.
Thank you. Representative Art, for the schools that were like flooded during the hurricane, some of those that didn't have insurance, would it be easier if they're not as wealthy as some of the other places for them to use the trust fund?
That's certainly their choice. What we want to do is make sure that we actually have a minimum level of insurance available. This is exposed kind of a need that we need to ensure that the schools are properly insured, quite frankly. And this doesn't mandate. It gives them options. It's the same options that they've always had.
Thank you. One follow-up, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman, yield?
Yes.
Yields.
Thank you. The reason I went there is because I understand the dynamics of the insurance, but in some of the less wealthy areas that had their schools flooded, if they didn't have insurance, it would slow them down. So I thought that this would be giving them an opportunity to get covered and allow them to get back up and functioning much faster. And that was how I was kind of looking at it.
It does provide a lot of benefits in the sense that it raises the minimum value of the insurance that's provided. It provides them in a better management position to leverage the state's reinsurance program for their state assets and provide a more coverage at a cheaper price.
Thank you, Representative Art.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setz, arise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move that this bill be moved down the calendar so we could have a conversation with the insurance chairs. This is the first time we've seen this.
Chair is going to displace the bill. House Bill 112, the clerk will read.
Representative Ray, House Bill 112, the bill to maintain an act authorizing the city of Roanoke Rapids to levy a municipal and 1% sales and use tax, General Assembly of North Carolina acts.
Gentleman from Northampton, Representative Ray, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a good vote yesterday. I appreciate a good vote today.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 112 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Faircloth, wish to vote on the bill. Representative Autry, wish to vote on the bill. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 94 having voted in the affirmative and 19 the negative. House Bill 112 passes its third reading and is ordered sent to the Senate.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, Jim Catawba, Representative Setz, arise.
I'd like to move that House Bill 922 be referred to the Committee on Insurance.
Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. For what purpose, gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren Rice?
Sir, I'd like to be recorded as an aye vote on HB 12, or excuse me, the one we just voted on, HB 112.
On House Bill 112.
How do you say that in English?
Gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 112 or 112. For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to change my vote to a no on House Bill 675.
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 675. Senate Bill 290, the clerk will read.
Senators Gunn, Blue, and Harrington, Senate Bill 290, a bill to be entitled to act to make various revisions to the alcohol beverage control laws of this state. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment I'd like to send forward, technical.
Gentleman is recognized. Send forward the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment. Okay.
The clerk will read the amendment.
Representative Bowles moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 48, by deleting wholesalers.
Gentleman is recognized to debate it.
Thank you, Ms. This is a friendly amendment worked out both from the distillers and beer and wine, and it simply removes wholesalers in page 4, line 48, and in line 51, wholesalers and. And all parties been consulted and agree.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendments? If not, the question before the House, adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk clock machine record the vote. 108 having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. Representative Hurley recognized to send forth amendment ASA 77V1. Clerk will read.
Representative Hurley moves to amend the bill on page 11, lines 17 through 25, by deleting those lines.
Ladies recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. We have had many, many of these alcohol bills, and some of these have been added again to another bill. And this one was added to one we just had, or was in the bill that we had the other day, this week. And so, excuse me, didn't hear, you can hear, not hear me. So I would like for you to, it moves to amend the bill on page 11, line 17 through 25, where it removes the bingo, the alcohol at the bingo games. Many, many of the areas where people play bingo bring their children. There are many children in these bingo parlors. And I really feel that alcohol is not, should not be present in this, and I would appreciate your green vote on this. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, rise?
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I always hate to speak against my young colleague over here. But this was vetted in committee, and I would urge that you vote against it. This does not mandate that you have to serve alcohol at a bingo game. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House, the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote.
Vote no.
Clerk clock machine record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative, 58 in the negative. The amendment fails. It was tied for a moment. For what purpose does the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise? Send forth another amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Hurley moves to amend the bill on page 12, lines 1 through 40, by deleting those lines.
Well, he's recognized to debate the amendment.
Okay, he won one. It's my turn. All right. Now, vote with me on this one, for sure. I had this is to restrict creation of new ABC systems, totally restrict them. And right now, there have been many bills, and I took this amendment out of one of them where they were mandating that they not have any, that they all go together. And I got that out because I think most of you received a resolution from your city councils that asked you not to do that because they didn't want to merge. So you may think back and think of that. So this is what this does. It makes them merge. It's mandatory. And right now it's voluntary, and we have many who do voluntarily merge. But your local people voted to have the alcohol, and they voted for the boards. And so the local people ought to have this decision, not be mandated to go together. I would appreciate your yes vote on this, please. My turn. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, rise.
Speak on the amendment. The
gentleman's recognized.
B-I-N-G-O. I ask that you vote no on this amendment. This amendment, ABC, alcohol beverage control. And this will be alcohol beverage consumption because it will allow additional ABC stores to open up against your present ABC stores. This does not consolidate the 119 so ABC stores now into 100. It does not consolidate them. What it does is that if there's a new ABC store in your town that votes to open, they have to be a subsidiary of the current ABC. And this was passed out of at least four committees, and this amendment was defeated, I know, at least once, and it does keep control under the ABC. And I urge you to vote no.
For what purpose does the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise?
A question for Representative Bowles.
Gentleman, yield.
I'll try, yes.
Yields.
Representative Bowles, I am probably housing in my district the newest community township in North Carolina. It's a very old community, but they have been incorporated now for 8 years. And they would like to have an ABC store because they're out in the middle of the country, kind of away from a lot of other development. So would this prevent them from being able to open up a new ABC store?
No, ma'am. They would have to work with someone that's already has an ABC store establishment. Does Johnson County, I'm not familiar with Johnson County. Do they have one system or do they have multiple systems?
We have one system.
And so they would have to open up under the Johnson County system.
Thank you.
It would not prevent them from having an ABC store.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise?
To speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
What I want to make clear to everybody is you just voted on this amendment 2 days ago. By a vote of 41-75, this amendment was defeated. So it's the exact same amendment that was before us before. The issue that this was an issue in which Representative Bowles worked more than me, but the issue is that in there's one county here that has 9 ABC boards, and the idea here is to try to get them to work together, particularly when new ABC boards are being formed. As parts of the state have their referendum, the hope is that they will work together and will not have this proliferation of boards. Moreover, the competition between boards as they put their ABC stores right on the edge of their jurisdiction to gain money and game the system. And so I think we made a decision on this 2 days ago, not last week, not last month, 2 days ago on the same amendment, and I would ask you again to defeat the amendment.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Iowa, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor, or bill carrier, a question.
The bill, Representative Bowles, or the amendment sponsor?
Representative Bowles.
The gentleman yield?
I will.
Yields.
The result of this, I am the county he referred to, I think, with 9 systems, the county system and 8 municipal. Okay, you're familiar with our situation. Small town, got in there first, then the county, now the big town next door cannot have an ABC store. Does this amendment, does your bill, without this amendment, put the last nail in the coffin so that town can never have an ABC store, or does this amendment help them by keeping it a little bit open? I don't know how to express that, but sort of open.
It will not prevent them from opening up an ABC store, but if they open up this what's in the bill, it will, they would open up with one of the nine that are within your ABC system. If this amendment fails, yes, they can go and petition and try to open up an ABC store.
Follow up.
And you'll have
two. Gentleman yield. Representative Bowles, gentleman yield.
Oh, yes.
He yields.
Okay, so in my understanding that under your bill, without this amendment, they can go to the county and the county can allow them to open an ABC store in that
if,
town.
If they pass the referendum that they have want to open up an ABC, they can go to one of your nine boards and work with them and open up an ABC store.
The final follow-up.
Gentleman yield. He yields.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is that they would not have to go to that neighboring town. They can go to another town somewhere, almost anywhere, and work with that board within the county.
They can go to any, my understanding, they can go to any of the existing boards in their county in partnership with them.
Okay, thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To ask Representative Bowles a question.
Gentleman yield.
Yes, ma'am.
He yields.
So that raises the issue of why those one of those nine ABC boards is not going in and seeking right now under the existing law to work and open an ABC store that would be part of their system. Why wouldn't they be doing that right now?
I would refer that to Brunswick County Representative.
To follow up.
Gentleman yield.
Yes.
Yields.
So if they're not seeking to do it now, that puts the onus on the new town to go seek someone. Is that right?
This will give them an opportunity to partnership with another ABC, correct?
May I ask a question of Representative Eiler?
Representative Eiler, gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
So I'd ask the same question of you. Why isn't the new town seeking to partner with one of the existing nine boards right now?
Under current law, it's my understanding, interpreted partially by Representative Bowles and others, that since the county held an election, no other town may hold an election. Since the county has held their election, and they have an ABC board, no other town at this point can have an election. And he's nodding his head correctly. So they cannot have an election, and right now they can't partner with another board, apparently.
They cannot partner. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
To see if Representative Bowles will yield for a question.
Gentleman yield.
I think bingo was easier, wasn't it?
I guess that means he yields.
I think I understand the answer to the question, but I want to confirm it. When you say that a new system, after going through a vote of the people of the new jurisdiction, would need to partner with an existing ABC board. Partnering would entail negotiating how the proceeds from the sales within the new jurisdiction would be divided and what cut, if any, or overhead, if any, would go to the partner system. Is that correct?
Mr. Speaker, I have staff also on the floor.
You're authorized.
Okay, thank you. That's correct. That is correct, yes, sir.
Negotiate that before the public knows.
Okay. And Mr. Speaker, follow up.
Representative Blackwell.
And from staff, the negotiations would have to be done before the referendum so the people would know what they were voting on.
Understood. You negotiate the best deal you can get with one of the other systems that's already in existence in your county, and then you put that proposal before the voters in the new jurisdiction.
That is correct. So they know what they're voting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Yancey, Representative Presnell, rise?
To ask Representative Bowles a question.
Does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Talk to me a minute about the tax revenue. I know they're in the same county, but sometimes if it's in another a little town of the same county, who gets the tax revenue for that?
Thank you. It will still be under current local distribution. The liquor sale would stay with that local board, the local that the ABC board is with. Under this proposal, if there's a new ABC board, then they would negotiate their revenue.
But are they guaranteed the revenue if it comes from their store?
Oh, if you have to work out, those before the referendum could be held to open up a new store.
Okay, thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise?
To speak a second time, please.
The lady's recognized to debate the amendment a second time.
I want to use my county and my municipalities as an example. We have a dry county, so we have not had a referendum for the county. So we have four municipalities, Ashboro, Ramsour, Randleman, and Liberty. They all get their revenue from their stores. They all equally, their people locally voted for the alcohol in their municipalities. I have another town that y'all have heard of, Trinity, who has tried to get alcohol but has not. Now, there is still a possibility that they could. Well, if this bill passes as it is, Trinity would have to call either Ashboro, or Liberty, or Randleman, or Ramsour, and go in with one of them, and their revenue would be decided to between each other what they would get. I feel like the local control needs to be they make their own decisions and they get their own revenue. And that's what all I'm saying in this amendment, and I would appreciate your support. Be glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A3. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Jones, no. Brendan Jones. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 46 having voted in the affirmative and 67 in the negative. The amendment fails. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 290 on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Jones, aye. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 86 having voted in the affirmative and 28 in the negative. Senate Bill 290 passes its third reading. The bill is ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 302, the clerk will read.
Senators Heiss, Bishop, and Krawick, Senate Bill 302, a bill to be entitled Update HEH Service and Care Plan and Billing of Nurses. General Assembly of North Carolina, now.
For what purpose the lady from Johnson, Representative White Rice?
To speak to the bill.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you. I'm going to dedicate my comments today to Representative Floyd. I'm going to keep it short and sweet so you won't have to ask me that question. You all have already voted for both of these bills pretty much unanimously. The adult care home services are just asking to be able to have one state recommended or enforced assessment for personal care services. And this is the industry, all of DHSR, everyone, DMA, now Health Benefits is in favor of this, so there's no opposition. That's the first part. The second part is the Board of Nursing. When you voted on it before, both of these bills have gone through committees and gone to the House, and then they went into a sleeping mode. But currently, went into that sleeping mode. We removed the rate ceiling. It has not been updated in 23 years, but that seemed to be something that was holding it up, so we removed that. So what it is technical changes for the Board of Nursing to get them into the 21st century. Thank you for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 302 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, 1 the negative. Senate Bill 302 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 302 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 302 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 385. The clerk will read.
Senators Jackson, Senate Bill 385, a bill to be entitled Act to clarify motor vehicle dealer regulatory requirements. General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
The gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross, recognized, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, you've seen this bill before. This came through the House earlier in session. This is an identical version coming out of the Senate. This bill has passed all the committees. There's five simple areas of the bill that clarify some regulatory requirements for automobile dealers. Section 1 simply says that a newly hired salesman, is able to work until his application comes back in. Section 2 covers third-party vehicle reports, like a Carfax report that a dealer may give on a gratuitous basis, releases them from any liability from an outside or third-party source. Section 3 allows a dealership to give a promotional fee to someone that makes a referral up to $250. Section 4 clarifies the sale of certain credit-related products. And then Section 5, when we made revisions last year to some of our title statutes, there were some unintended consequences, and through some work with DMV. DMV has recommended some changes, and that's what Section 5 does, is clarifies titles that are in transit.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 385 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 385 passes second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 385 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 385 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 392, clerk will read.
Senators Brown and Newton, Senate Bill 392, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the laws affecting charter schools. General Assembly of North Carolina, enact.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill was heard in education K-12 and then it went to rules where a change was made. So I'll just go through the sections real quickly. We took several charter bills that had more benign issues and smushed them all together in Ed K-12. So this is how this was formulated. Part one deals with approval of bonds with a signature. These are not government bonds. This is dealing with private bonds to the banks, and the banks are supportive of this. Makes one of the renewal standards a little bit more specific for charter school renewal. Then part three requires background checks for charter school board of directors. Those don't have to be thumbprint checks, but they can be a nationwide criminal background check like the employers run. Part four is what we were holding in rules until some action from the state board to see how they handled. You have this deals with the change to the enrollment cap on our virtual charter school pilot. We have an 8-year pilot going on right now to see how the virtual charter schools work, and there are two entities that are part of that pilot. One of them, with a vote by the state board, they put them on a monthly compliance monitoring because of problems that it was having. Then the other one was free to continue to move as it currently is. So what this part does and how it was changed based on that decision was we are allowing the one that is functioning all right to have 20% growth through the pilot, just like other charter schools. The one that is on the monthly compliance is not allowed. They are capped without action from the state board. The state board can allow them to grow, but at this point, it is all up to them because they are under that compliance. So I would appreciate your support for the bill. Thank you.
Members, if you would also join me, we have another group of young men and women from the North Carolina Tar Heel Challenge Academy who've joined us on both sides of the gallery. If you'd join me in welcoming these young men and with us today, if y'all please stand. For what purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to send forth an amendment.
Chairman is recognized. Clerk will read the amendment.
Representative Meyer moves to amend the bill on page 3, line 49, through page 4, line 9, by rewriting the lines to read.
Chairman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment addresses the portion of the charter school bill that's related to the virtual charter schools. I appreciate Representative Elmore's willingness to work on that provision in rules and to make it a little bit stronger. I still want to add one additional provision on the expansion of those schools. Our virtual charter schools are in the second half of a pilot. There was a 4-year pilot. Now we're in the second 4-year pilot. Their performance has not been very good. Our two virtual charter schools on the school performance grades both have the performance level of a D. This bill would allow them to continue to enroll more students, even though they're not succeeding with most of the students that they're currently working with right now. They work with a challenging profile of students. But my amendment would simply add an additional provision that says that after this year, they're only going to be able to grow again. Well, they're in this pilot. They're only going to be able to grow again if they improve their performance up to the level of a C. That we shouldn't let them add more students until they've gotten a little bit better with the ones that they have. I hope you'll support my amendment.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognize, debate the amendment.
I would urge you to oppose the amendment. Representative Meyer has talked with me about this amendment before. The key word here is this is a pilot. And as he was saying, the students that are served in a virtual charter setting, this is a student that the parent has, for whatever reason, may it be social, may it be academic, et cetera, feels like that this would be a better fit for their child. And because of that nature, you will see fluctuation in the grade, but you've got to remember that this is a pilot. We can continue to evaluate this until the end of the pilot, and if we see that this is a continuous problem, We can eliminate the pilot. So I think something of this nature is premature at this point and would restrict because there are quite a bit of a waiting list. We tried addressing this in the original version for the one school of folks wanting to participate in this and see if it will work for their child. So I would urge you to oppose the amendment.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, rise?
To speak to the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Meyer, I certainly understand your concern about, as we have, you and I have had a lot of discussion on this pilot or pilots like this. But I want to use your own words, and that is when you describe the students here as having a challenging profile. And that is exactly correct. These students do have a challenging profile, and they are going to move in and out of this option, this education option. To remove this option for students by capping the growth, as you have suggested, I think does a disservice to those challenging students and those families with challenging students. As a consequence, ladies and gentlemen, I'd ask you to vote red on the amendment. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
To debate the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
I would like to speak in favor of the amendment and point to this body's recent history. Whenever there have been low-performing schools, the models that we have presented to low-performing schools to change the outcomes of their students has not been to add more students. It has been to drastically alter what they're doing to become more effective. This allowance to just add more students to the mix goes against recent precedent set by this body. So I would ask you to vote for the amendment.
For what purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer Rice?
To speak a second time.
Gentleman is recognized.
I appreciate the respectful debate that Representative Horn and Elmore and I have had over this over the last couple weeks. I just want to clarify one thing, which is that there was originally a proposal to cap enrollment in this bill. That cap is not here, and my amendment does not put a cap on. It just creates an incentive for these schools to increase their performance up to the level of a C. If they do that, they can continue to add enrollment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 56 having voted in the affirmative, 57 in the negative. The amendment fails. For what purpose? The lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Adcock moves to amend the bill on page 3, line 41 through page 4, line 23 by rewriting the lines to read.
Please recognize to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I actually stand to withdraw my amendment. Thank you.
The amendment will be returned to the lady. Further discussion, further debate on the amendment, on the bill. The lady from Wake, Representative Ball, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I please ask a question of the bill sponsor?
Absolutely. Does the gentleman from Wilkes yield to the lady from Wake?
Yes, Mr.
He
Speaker.
Yields.
Thank you. Representative Elmore, you and I have talked about this, and I just wanted to raise and ask if you wouldn't respond and say that we have talked about perhaps some ways to address some of my concerns, which are that we have not ever done any sort of audit or evaluation of the enrollment and the attendance, the process, and I've talked with Bill Drafting, and you and I have talked about perhaps another solution to an amendment that I was hoping to present today, perhaps another way we can address that. Could you reply and let me know what your thoughts are about that?
Representative Ball was referring to how the attendance is monitored with the virtual charter, and how that is handled is that they do a check-in because, see, the kid can work on their work at whatever time they want to, meaning they can do it from 6 to 10 at night, however it works because it's computer-based. That is collected weekly, then it's reported monthly to DPI. At this time, DPI said they have seen no spikes or problems, et cetera, with attendance. But she would like to look into how that actual auditing process works, because the DPI does periodically audit the attendance records of the LEAs. So that is something that we can incorporate into that program and look at that, but we can probably deal with that at a later date.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
See if the bill sponsor would answer a question.
Gentleman from Wilkes, yield to the gentleman from Craven?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Section 1, the public approval for private activity, why would they need to get the approval for something that's usually considered private property?
This is a piece that was brought to us from Senator Ballard, and I'm definitely not an expert on it, but I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version. Many times when they are doing these private bonds to the banks, because they are a board situation, that they require a signature from a local official, basically, is this vouching that this is good for the area. We've had some situations where charter school boards have requested their local officials to sign off. This has nothing to do with any government money whatsoever. At the local level, state level, it's all dealing with the private banks, and the local officials have refused to sign the documents. So this would allow the state superintendent, which ultimately they are the ones accountable for all charter schools, them and the state board, to allow him to put that signature. But it does not put the state on the hook for any money, any repayment, any liability, anything whatsoever. Yes, thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer Rice?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. I just want to say to my colleagues that notwithstanding the failure of my perfect amendment, this is still a good bill, and I would encourage everyone to support it.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 392 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 86 having voted in the affirmative, 27 in the negative. Senate Bill 392 passes second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 392 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 392 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate.
What purpose does a member from Vance, Representative Garrison, arise?
To change my vote to an aye on Senate Bill 392.
Representative, it was your intent to vote aye on Senate Bill 392. The gentleman will be so recorded. Senate Bill 574, the clerk will read.
Senators Davis and Carlton and Woodard, Senate Bill 574, a bill to be entitled an act to establish the North Carolina Gaming Commission, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill has passed in the Commerce, Judiciary, Finance, and finally Rules Committee before coming to you once again. So if you haven't seen my presentation of this bill, prepare yourself to be regaled. This bill has made concessions along the way. It does not expand gaming in any way. It does not contain anything pertaining to fantasy sports. It does not contain anything referring to video lottery terminals or VLTs. We have made various concessions along the way, listening to the concerns that some members have had on both sides of the aisle. What it does in essence is basically two things. Number one, it establishes a gaming commission by taking all the current gaming activities that are going on in our state right now and bringing them out from the different entities that they're under, the SBI, the Boxing Authority, the Lottery Commission, and brings them all under one authority. It's just a common sense move to restructure what we're doing and bring everything under one basic authority. The second thing it does is it directs that new commission to do a study of the impacts on sports betting and steeplechases and report that their findings back to the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on the Lottery. And I respectfully request your support. I stand open for any questions.
Further discussion, further debate? The chair
is... Mr. Speaker.
For what purposes, gentleman from Rowan rise?
I do have an amendment to the bill. I'm sorry.
The gentleman from Rowan is recognized to send forward an amendment, and the clerk will read.
Representative Warren moves to amend the bill on page 8, line 19, by rewriting that line to read.
The gentleman from Rowan is recognized to explain his amendment.
What this does is clarify the intent behind section 12 of the bill regarding the elevation of the current lottery commission to the status of the gaming commission. I didn't clarify that, the intention in there, but what we want to do is retain the institutional knowledge during this, what would be a transformational period as the lottery commission becomes a gaming commission and assumes purview over the other activities. So I appreciate your support on the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment sent forward by Representative Warren. If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment 1. Those favoring adoption will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. The 105 voting in the affirmative and 8 in the negative, Amendment 1 is adopted. What purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, arise?
Question for the bill sponsor. Question for the bill sponsor.
Would the gentleman from Rowan yield to the gentleman from Durham?
Yes, I will.
He yields.
What was the hesitancy around including VLTs in the study?
I'm sorry?
What was the hesitancy, or was there any hesitancy or conversation around putting VLTs in your study?
Basically, that was an acquiescence to concerns. There's a few members who brought that up. And it coincides with the time factor as well, Representative. I would say several of us, and probably many who haven't voiced an opinion about it, are confusing VLTs under the guidance of under the purview of a lottery commission or a gaming commission, and confusing that with the sweepstakes parties we've been trying to eradicate for the last 12 years.
What purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, arise?
Mr. Speaker, you should have an amendment that I've put forward on this bill.
Representative Kidwell is recognized to send forward an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Kidwell moves to amend the bill on page 7, lines 16 through 17 by deleting those lines.
The gentleman from Beaufort is recognized to explain his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow representatives, what I'm seeking to do with this amendment is to restore the tax deduction that was previously permitted in the state of North Carolina and is currently permitted by the federal government in relationship to gambling winnings and gambling losses. The gambling losses have always been permitted in the past to offset up to the extent of your gains. This is not based on professional gamblers. This is based on people who most likely have gone to a casino, put money into a slot machine, and I can give you a realistic example. I had a client who actually won about $300,000 over in Cherokee. But in order to win that $300,000, they put $280,000 into the machines to get there. Okay? State of North Carolina actually taxed that person on the entire $300,000. They were not allowed to offset the gains by the $280,000 they put in to win. Now, the problem with that, and I'm going to go to the North Carolina Constitution, anybody that wants to look at it with me, it's clearly available in Article 5, which is titled Finance, Section 2, Paragraph 6. The first half of that sentence tells us what the maximum tax we can levy is. The second half of that sentence says there shall be allowed personal exemptions and deductions so that only net income is taxed. Very basic math. You take the total winnings, you subtract the losses, you tax the difference. Now, you cannot go to a loss by doing this. So if you lose more than you win, you break even. Okay? It's not going to allow somebody to actually have a loss on their tax return due to gambling. It would only allow them to deduct up to the extent of their winnings. Okay? I want to make that very clear. This simply brings this part of our tax code into compliance with our Constitution. It appropriately fits in this gaming bill. Thank you very much.
What purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, arise?
I have an amendment. It's not to debate this one.
Understood. What purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, arise?
To speak to the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor, may debate the amendment.
Colleagues, I'm going to ask you to vote no on the amendment, and not necessarily because I disagree with Representative Kidwell. He makes a good point, or expresses his point very well. But what I'm looking at is the fact that Mr. Kidwell, or Representative Kidwell, had asked for this to be included in the study that the commission's doing, and we did include it there. It is in Section 3A, Item 6 of the bill. So we've acquiesced to his original request. If we comply with this amendment, we would require the bill to go back to finance. And as you all know, we're at the last leg of this run. Additionally, this would be a policy issue in this bill. If the bill passes and the Senate concurs, we've created a tax issue or a tax policy that affects revenue. So for those reasons, I'm going to ask you to vote no on the amendment.
What purpose does the lady from Davie, Representative Howard, arise?
Speak on the amendment.
Lady has the floor, may debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too am going to ask you to vote no. It is a policy change, and the effect would be about $8 million in revenue to the state of North Carolina, and with the provision already in the bill for the study, that's the way that we should handle this and not at the last minute put this major policy provision in place.
What purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, arise?
To speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I rise against the amendment. We had this debate in finance about this idea. And the argument I'm about to make to you had Representative Zoka tell me, welcome to the Republican Party. So I guess I'm trying to brush up on my bona fides today. But the challenge with this is that it really breaks a fundamental tenet of how we do taxation. You know we have an income tax, but we only tax what you spend through the form of a sales tax. And we don't allow you to write off things that you spend money on, even if they're things that you perceive to be a loss. If you make money, you get taxed on it for your income, whether it's gambling earnings or money that you get from a paycheck, etc. But if we are going to start to write off expenses on things that you throw your money away, whether it be gambling or you buy a boat or you buy a car or you buy something else that ends up being a money trap, you don't get to write off all the losses on those things. So just for good tax policy, I would encourage you to vote against the amendment.
What purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise?
Speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With all due respect to Representative Kidwell, I think what he cited from the Constitution would refer to legitimate business or legitimate purchases and that sort of thing. I will never agree to consider any kind of gambling as legitimate. And so I think if you're so irresponsible as to throw your money away gambling and you take a loss on that, you should have known better before you did it and that's your tough luck.
What purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, arise?
Speak a second time on the bill.
The amendment.
I'm sorry.
The gentleman has the floor. May debate the amendment a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of points to Representative Warren. I'm going to respectfully disagree. My original motion when this was in finance many weeks ago was actually to have the deduction put in. It was not requested for a study. I don't know if that was a misunderstanding, but it was to have the deduction put in, which would have given us appropriate time to debate this in the Finance Committee and possibly to bring that into position. I don't recall who the gentleman was that spoke on the other side of the aisle, but when people take tax deductions, it is not up to the government to make the determination on how people spend their money. There are plenty of things that people so-called throw their money at, whether it's in business, it can be charitable contributions, it can be many activities. You are always allowed to take your deductions that offsets the income from which it was derived. Okay? An example of that would be is if you buy yourself a car and you're fortunate enough, let's say it's an antique car, and you sell that for a profit, you are in fact permitted to deduct the cost of getting that car to its condition to sell, okay, against the income of that vehicle. You can do that with any asset. When I sell something, I can deduct against it. When I'm in business, I can deduct the expenses appropriately allocated to that income. All I am seeking to do is exactly that, allow people to take an honest deduction against the income that they received. Now, Representative Pittman's point, and this is not an honest amount of income or an honest way to make income, Representative Pittman, if this state's going to allow people to gamble, they should allow people to take deductions against that gambling. This is not an issue. It is a policy issue. I would suggest that we do refer this back to finance to be studied and done appropriately. The Constitution is very clear. Deductions shall be allowed. Shall. Not may, not maybe, not might. Shall be allowed, so only net income is taxed. I ask for your positive vote on this amendment.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, arise?
A question for Representative Kidwell.
Would the gentleman from Beaufort yield to the gentleman from Wake?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Kidwell, it sounds like this is something you've been studying or passionate about for a while, and I was just wondering if you ever asked fiscal staff or anything like that for an estimate of how much changing this policy would affect state revenues.
Thank you for the question, Representative Jackson. In fact, yes, I have. I'd introduced a bill for this very purpose early in session that has not made any movement. For whatever reason, the committees have chosen not to hear that bill. That is available. I could pull that for you if you'd like.
May I ask an additional question?
Would the gentleman from Beaufort yield to an additional question?
I do.
He yields.
If you could just share with me how much that was.
I would have to pull that up and come back up in just a moment.
Additional question. So, as I understand your complaint and your example about a slot machine, how does one prove that you actually put $280,000 into the slot machine as opposed to just putting it in your pocket?
So that's a very valid point, Representative. One of the things that our tax system, both at the state and federal level, does is it has a certain amount of trust involved in it. There would be proof required upon an audit. You should only take the deductions that you can, in fact, prove. That can be kept by a logbook. In most cases, when people are dealing in those volumes of money, they're using cards, very similar to a debit card, at the gambling facilities. The casinos have a card that you'll put into the machine before you put your money in. It will record how much money you have put into the machine and how much you have won. And that way you can keep track of your winnings as well as your losses.
An additional question, Mr. Speaker.
Would the gentleman yield to an additional question?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
So I would probably classify gambling, for myself at least, as more of a hobby or something I enjoyed. And so I think you're approaching it from a business standpoint, that someone who's in the business of gambling, I guess, and wanting to get their investment back. But you made a statement about an asset, and that's not how we treat assets. But isn't it true that if you buy a second home, a beach house, and you go there on weekends, and it goes up in value and you sell it, you pay income tax or capital gains on the amount of the thing.
But if it goes down in value and you sell it at a loss because you, it's something you personally enjoyed, you've gotten entertainment from, you can't claim that loss on your income taxes, can you?
That's correct, Representative Jackson, and that is a very valid point. So let me go ahead and address that for you. So your point well taken, well made, but it also would apply in the situation with the gambling income because you're not going to be permitted to take a net loss. You're only going to be allowed to offset your gains. The same thing is true with that vacation home or your personal home. You cannot take a loss on personal assets. You can only offset the gain and make the gain lower, so you're only taxed on the net difference. Now, your point also on the hobby aspect, the enjoyment level of it. In fact, on the federal tax return, and I would add also it's going to be allowed on the state because you're going to come with the net income, you're going to be allowed to take your hobby expenses against your hobby income. So that is a point well made. If I'm in a hobby of painting, I can take my expenses because I have to claim my income, but I am also allowed to offset that income to the extent of my expenses. Again, it's a hobby, personal enjoyment. I can't go to a loss. This would seek to do the same thing with the gambling.
What purpose does the gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, arrive?
Debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor. May debate the amendment.
I think it's somewhat academic at this point because all of the questions have been against the amendment, but it's kind of fun. It seems to me that the amendment would take the gambling out of gamble. It makes it more of a business. The second point I would make is that we're trusting, as Representative Jackson's point, we're trusting them to report this on their taxes. Well, the odds of an audit are about 1%. And so these gamblers would probably like those odds.
Members, the chair is aware of only Representative McNeil who wishes to speak on another amendment. Is there further discussion or debate on this amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 2 sent forward by Representative Kidwell. Those favoring adoption will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 11 voting in the affirmative and 101 in the negative, the amendment is not adopted. The gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, hang on 1 minute. For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgardner, arise?
Be recorded as voting no on that. I was in the room.
The gentleman from Gaston will be recorded as having voted no on Amendment 2. The gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized to send forward an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative McNeil moves to amend the bill on page 6, line 49 through page 7, line 2, by rewriting the lines to read.
The gentleman from Randolph has the floor and may debate the amendment.
Thank you. Basically, what this does is there's a transfer of the Boxing Commission that's also part of the budget. There's a transfer of the Boxing Commission that is a part of this bill. Within those transfers, there are actual positions that belong to alcohol law enforcement. Also, there is another bill, House Bill 99, that deals with the subject matter jurisdiction of alcohol law enforcement. All of those are in conflict. So what this amendment does, it just seeks to take the conflicts out of all of those and take these positions that belong to alcohol law enforcement and put them back into alcohol law enforcement instead of transferring them with the transfer. So as far as I know, this is a friendly amendment.
What purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, arise?
To speak to the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the amendment.
Thank you. And I want to thank Representative McNeil and Representative Bowles for calling to my attention something we did not realize in all the time we've been crafting this bill is that there are three positions with ALE that were associated with the transfer. This corrects that. May I ask you kindly to please vote aye on this amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment 3 sent forward by Representative McNeil. Those favoring adoption will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 110 voting in the affirmative and 3 in the negative, Amendment 3 is adopted.
Mr. Speaker, I wish...
What purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, arise?
I wish to be recorded as yes.
The lady from Orange will be recorded as having voted aye on Amendment 3. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 574 on its second reading. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 87 voting in the affirmative and 25 in the negative, Senate Bill 574 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 574 on its third reading. Those favoring passage will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. And Senate Bill 574 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate by special message. The chair apologizes. The bill was ordered engrossed with the amendments and then sent to the Senate by special message. What purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to make a request about the rest of the calendar. Have we concluded the calendar for today?
It was the chair's intent to do Senate Bill 212, but if the lady has a... So Senate Bill 212, the clerk will read.
Senators Crowick and Heiss, Senate Bill 212, a bill to be entirely NCFAS Early Child Transformation HCSS. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, is recognized to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, if I could, I'd actually like to send forth the amendment first.
Yes. Are we... The gentleman from McDowell is recognized to send forward an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Dobson moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 30 through 33, through page 2, lines 1 through 2, by rewriting the lines to read.
The gentleman from McDowell has the floor to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we know that NCFAST has had issues. We're trying to work through those issues with the department, with the local DSSs in the counties. This bill would allow the department to move forward, this amendment, excuse me, would allow the department to move forward with what's called a request for information, to look to improve or replace the child welfare case management component of NCFAS, but it shall not issue any contracts without prior approval from the General Assembly. So this gives the department a little more authority to move forward with a request for information, and I'd appreciate your support on this amendment.
Further discussion or debate on Amendment Number 1? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment 1 sent forward by Representative Dobson. Those favoring adoption will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk... We'll lock the machine and record the vote, with 113 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Amendment 1 is adopted. The gentleman, for what purpose does the gentleman from Lee, Representative Sauls, arise?
Mr. Chair, I would ask to be recorded as a no on 574.
Representative Sauls will be recorded as having voted no on the second reading of Senate Bill 574. Representative Dobson has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I know the hour is getting late, so I'll be brief. The bill does have four parts, most of those you've seen before. The first part is the original Senate language from Senate Bill 212. This provision will postpone deployment of NCFAS case management functionality for the child welfare system and aging and adult services programs. This postponement would last until next year. We all know that NCFAS isn't working as it should. This delay would allow the department to continue working on improvements only for those counties that participated in the initial pilot program prior to January 1st, 2019. This would also allow the counties that began after January 1st with the child welfare and aging to either continue or to opt out if they chose to. So this, I believe, allows the department to continue to working on improvements, but also gives some autonomy and flexibility to each of the counties. Section 2 contains the components of House Bill 882, which we've passed at least on two occasions, I believe, in this chamber already, which raises the standards for child care workers. Representative Horn had a good amendment that he added that would give more time for individuals to obtain the credentials that they need to continue to work in the child care facilities. Part 3 is crucial. This new section would delay until March 1st, 2020, the Medicaid transformation, if the conference report for the budget is not passed. There are a lot of things in the budget that have to happen to move managed care forward. The claims run out, the hospital assessment, and the PHP tax. So without the budget bill, we don't believe we can move forward with managed care in North Carolina. So there's been some talk about, well, we just have a continuing resolution and everything will be okay. Actually, we do still have work to do specifically with managed care. And if we don't get that passed, then this provision would delay the implementation of managed care until March of next year. Part 4 is House Bill 325 that we've tried on several occasions with Representative Barnes, Representative Black, and Representative White to move this provision. It gives some latitude and it gives some regulatory relief to our adult care homes that we've also passed on three occasions in this House. I'd appreciate your support for this bill. Thank you, members.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 212 on its second reading. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Moore of Cleveland will be recorded as aye. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 111 voted in the affirmative and one in the negative, Senate Bill 212 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina acts.
What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, arise?
To correct my glaring mistake.
The gentleman from Guilford will be recorded as having voted aye on the second reading of Senate Bill 212. What purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, arise?
You closed the machine before I hit the button. I voted aye on that bill, please.
The gentleman from Beaufort will be recorded as having voted aye on the second reading of Senate Bill 212. We're now back on the third reading. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 212 on its third reading. Those favoring passage will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. And Senate Bill 212 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. Chair stands corrected again. The bill is ordered engrossed and then sent to the Senate by special message. Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, chairs of the Committee on Health, are recognized to send forward a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, Health Committee Report, House Bill 989, Hospital Assessment Revision, Professional Payments, Favorable Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Original Bill, and Re-referred to Finance.
The original bill is placed upon the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Notices and announcements. What purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, arise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor. May make his announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All Republicans will caucus immediately after session in 1228. Please be prompt. It should be a very short caucus. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, arise? What purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, arise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor. May speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
Ladies and gentlemen, this weekend my son and his wonderful bride will celebrate their 17th wedding anniversary. It's just an amazing thing that they've done in bringing us four wonderful grandchildren, and I want to congratulate them on their anniversary. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For a moment of personal privilege, please.
Lady, the lady has the floor. May speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
I won't take that long. I want to invite everyone to Winston-Salem. I have left something on your desk to peruse. You will be able to see during the week of July 29th through August 3rd, I guess it is, wonderful theater right here in the state of North Carolina. And as the original visionary who started this some 40 years ago in our city says, it is a marvelous week. You would believe that you were in New York, where you're paying $250 to $500 sometimes for a ticket to see a wonderful Broadway production. You can walk the streets of Winston-Salem with people that you walk, that you sometimes can see if you're watching a favorite, or perhaps not even a favorite television program, I don't know. But we invite you to come and spend at least a little bit of time with us, if not for the entire week. Every venue in the city of Winston-Salem that has a stage will have theater productions going on for the entire week. There's lots of entertainment, and there's just lots of fun. So please look through it, flip through it, give it to your friend. Don't put it in the trash. Give it to somebody who would love to be able to see what's going on in a great state of North Carolina, in the wonderful County of Forsyth and the city of Winston-Salem. Thank you very much.
What purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, arise?
To see if the chair will yield for two questions, and I'm trying to Google Forsyth County, Mr. Speaker.
The chair will yield to the two questions, but the technical question should be referred to the ISD department.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, I know we have rules today, our meeting there after session, and your vision of rules for next week.
Thank you for the question, Representative Floyd. Actually, in the form of an announcement, the chair would announce that because the Republicans are going to caucus, rules will be 30 minutes after session and not 15. It will still be in the same room with the same bills that have been notice. The gentleman is recognized for an additional inquiry to the chair.
Yes, sir. I hate to ask you this question, but Monday, two questions, rules and what time will we convene Monday?
The chair anticipates a rules meeting on Monday, but the final decision has not been made yet. Session will be at 7 o'clock on Monday, and the chair does anticipate votes on Monday night.
Okay, Mr. Chair, will you take a question from me from Monday for Tuesday and Wednesday? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The chair would also plan on being here on Tuesday for votes as well. The chair would like to invite all of our pages to please come to the front of the chamber. Pages, on behalf of Speaker Moore and all the members of the House, we sincerely thank you for your service this week. It's our sincerest hope that you were able to learn more about your state government. You were able to be a part of your state government. Hopefully you were able to make some good friends along the way. And as one of you said to me, you got to see fireworks 2 weeks in a row, the July 4th week and this week. So the chair would ask all the members of the House to rise and give thanks to our pages for their service this week. The pages may return to their stations. Further notices or announcements? What purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Jarvis, arise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor to speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
I would just like to say that we have a great sergeant of arms, and today, if I'm not mistaken, Terry McGraw has been with us for 110 years.
Is that right? What purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, arise? Further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene on Monday, July 15th at 7 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Torbett has moved, seconded by Representative McNeely, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, July 15th at 7 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those favoring the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned.
Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth a Rules Calendar and Operations of the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 144, Modify Intent Gross Premium Tax PHPs. Favorable House Committee Sub, Unfavorable Senate Committee Sub, and Re-Referred. Senate Committee Sub will be placed on the Unfavorable Calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 144 will be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Representative Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White are recognized to send forth a Health Committee Report, House Bill 935, Social Services Reform, DHHS Recommendations, Favorable Committee Sub, Unfavorable Original Bill, and Re-Referred Original Bill placed on the Unfavorable Calendar, whereas Committee Sub, House Bill 935, Re-Referred to the Committee on Appropriations, Health and Human Services. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth a Rules Calendar and Operations of the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 217, Change Superior Court and District Court Numbers, Favorable, Senate Bill 217, Calendar 36B for Monday the 15th, Senate Bill 301, House Committee Substitute Number 1, Regional School Modifications, Favorable, Senate Bill 301, Calendar 36B for Monday the 15th, Senate Bill 320, Regional Water Systems and State Grants, Favorable, Senate Bill 320, Calendar 36B for Monday the 15th, Senate Bill 476, Compt-Based Assessment and Mental Health, Teen Violence, Favorable, House Bill 476, Calendar 36B for Monday the 15th, Senate Bill 532, Amends Probate Trust Wills Choice of Law, Favorable, Senate Bill 532, Calendar 36B for Monday the 15th, Representative Howard Setzer, Zoka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren are recognized to send forth a Finance Committee Report, House Bill 736, Elective Shared Joint Accounts, Favorable and Re-Referred. House Bill 736 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar Operations of the House. Senate Bill 190, Expand Special Assessment for Dam Repair. Senate Bill 1, Favorable and Re-Referred. Senate Bill 190 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar and Operations of the House. Senate Bill 498, Facilitate Response to Disasters, Favorable and Re-Referred. Senate Bill 498 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar and Operations of the House. House Bill 784, Traffic Control Certification Program, favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. Original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute for House Bill 784 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter Operations of the House. House Bill 863, Qualifications for Sheriff Expunctions, favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 863 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules. Senate Bill 61, Guardian Parent Authorized Plate, favorable House Committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 61, re-referred to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 17, Local Option Meals Tax, Brunswick County. Favorable committee sub number 2, unfavorable committee sub number 1, and re-referred. Committee sub number 1 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee sub number 2 for House Bill 17 re-referred to the Committee on Rules. On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 683, Combat Absentee Ballot Fraud, is withdrawn from the Committee on Elections and recommitted to the Committee on Rules.